is the machlokes is relevant to the Ibn Medina, which parak came before, which we passed them like the Eitan, no? Have a day for me. Oh, Baruch Hashem, you see? Karevi Krov Aniyana. Misha Chazor Kudaikis, the Yom HaKisvu Get Liishti, L'Om HaKum. Om HaKisvu Get Liishti, V'Chazor Kudaikis, V'Chazor Yom HaLotik Levenu, Ein Dvorah V'Achronim Kum. Nishtatek V'Amru Lo Nichtov Get Liishtecha V'Hirkin V'Rosho, Bolken Oso Shlolosh Pomin. Om HaLav Lav Al Hein Hein, Harele Yichtovu V'Yitnu. This is a mission, the famous Mishnah, the Misha Ovzor, the famous Mishnah about someone who's not in his right mind. Oh, that was a little better prepared. Am I looking for a Ptur yesterday? I have a Ptur, one which is filled out, except they took out some of the names, one which is empty, but there are two of each. One is for a man, one is for a woman. And, yeah, sure. Because the Ptur has a man has to be able to remarry. How's he going to remarry? This is, okay. This is current, this year. Shishu. Right? I'm going to pass out these four things. This is one. You see, one of them has some completely blank, his and hers. One has, they have the signature of the Dayanim and the date, and they even have a little bit of the name of the man, not the whole thing. They whited out the rest, no one knows exactly what. And the only man that's there is, they say, someone who was something, called something, Ben. The only, Isaac. The Miskari Izzy. Okay, that's the only name that's here. The rest are just the names of the Dayanim. I think I have a suspicion that Dayanim are the same as the Edom on the Get, which is actually someone raised by Inas Adayan. They talk about maybe one day, but not right now. This is either semi-filled out for your edification. Zop the Hele Garashi. Zop the Hele Garashi. Yishavso kordaikis shem shida sholetis shoshosi ayin harbem begito lo maklum she'ein daito miyu sheves. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He just doesn't know. So now the rest is three blood of agadas we're not going to learn. I don't know what's going on with Ashmedai and Mises. We're going to start it off ayin amid beis. And ayin amid beis, the Mishnah is quoted, Omer Rishim ben Lokesh kosvin v'nost and get li'al. What does that mean? The man was perfectly right mind. He said, write a get. And now he's not with it. Doesn't make a difference. You write the get right now. You only write the get after he has come back to his sanity. By time of the let's stop right there. Zok Rashi. The second line. It's okay. Lo'aminan shotehu ve'eno yochol legarish. We don't say he's a shote and cannot be a megarish. What does that mean? So Lanias Daiti, the whole Yisod of the Sugi is in this first Rashi. Lo'aminan shotehu means to borrow a page or a phrase from the briskers. Shote is what they call a chaloshem gavra. Show there's officially a status that a person either has or doesn't have. It's not just a matter of fact. He's klor, he's not klor. No. Shota means someone who has a status, official halachic status of the shota. And according to the Rish Lakish, this individual does not have the official status of a shota. How do we know? Why is it so, I should say? He wants to explain why is it so. So the Gemara says, explains why it's so. After the Diyukim, so the Maika Miflagi, Rishlokish medame leyoshen, leyoshen, Rabbi Yochanan medame leshota. Rabbi Yochanan medame leyoshen, yoshen lo mechusam maisa. Hai mechusam maisa, he has to go through some kind of a curative process. Rishlokish medame leshota, shota lo samye biyodon. Hai, samye biyodon, besum kagumi vachame magam in the whole story. But, that's a good one. Rabbi said, what's the difference? The guy doesn't know what's going on according to Rishlokish. Who cares? Samia Biyad, you know, you can take a pill. We have today people, Nebuch, we'll discuss this later, who have major psychiatric problems. Major psychiatric problems. But they have medicine. If they take their medicine, they do okay. They don't take their medicine, Hashem Yerachem. Shreklach, I don't know if you've... In recent stories, that people didn't take medicine, they go to kill people, all kinds of crazy, kill themselves, kill somebody else. It's in the newspapers. subway, right? It's not the yeah, right? Because why? He didn't have his medicine. Hashem Yerachem. It's no joke. We can't understand this fully. But this is people who without their medicine, they're just psychotic. With the medicine, they function normally. This is a serious issue. I'm telling you, just to give an example how serious this is. I got a call this week. Very important person called me up and says we have the following shaila. Someone read about asking about a shidduch, and he knows that the person involved in the shidduch had a very serious psychiatric crisis many years ago, which is completely under control. Baruch Hashem, the person taking medicine. What's his disclosure or obligation, if any? This is din nefashis. I'm not going to answer that question right now. It's a difficult question. But I'm just giving an example how we have Samya Biyodam, the person who's taking medicine for 10 years, and ever since then, I don't know how many years, and ever since he's been taking the medicine, the person is functioning in a normal fashion. Right? So if such a person would not take the medicine one day, and would start behaving in an abnormal fashion, wouldn't know exactly what's going on in the world, be psychotic, delusional, your sense of reality is compromised. What would it be according to Rish Lakish, I think? Not a shaita, it's like a yashin. Why? Samya biyada. On the other side, that's the closest we have as man hazeh to the machlokas of Yochanan Mishlokas by Kodaikas. I know what Kodaikas is, not to tell you the truth. You know what it is? What does the English say? What does the art school say? What's Kodaikas? Kodaikas, probably.
Delirium.
Jastra. Delirium. So it is some kind of a delirium. It's a guy who doesn't know what's going on. No, so I ask you a question. Mishlokas thinks that a man who is delirious can authorize the writing of the get, chas v'shalom. The Muslim Furish, if he authorizes the writing of the get, what is Kodaikas? It's a Mishnah. No good. Hey, Rish Lakish agrees to that. Rish Lakish only says, that's what the Mitzvah, you don't know what's going on. But, you already authorized the giving of the get. But now there's a second thing, that a get cannot be given while the Baal is what we call a Chazachal Shem Shota, is officially categorized as a Shota. We'll have to discuss the Lumbar of that Mitzvah tomorrow. But that's a fact. Now the machlokes is in this technical categorization. If such an individual was delirious, but he could cure himself by taking pills, is he considered right now to be a shota because right now he's delirious? We should know, it's like someone is sleeping. Someone who has no concept of what's going on in the world, but sleep for 6 hours and you wake up, and then you're all better. So here too, that's a lumdush machlokes of Yochanan. The whole possibility of such a lumdush machlokes of Yochanan or Shlokas to exist presupposes that there's an official category called Shota. And the question is this individual fit into that category or not? Fine. Similarly, L'chora, we find, the Shota has two partners. I always found him with Mishas in the same breath. Who is two partners? Everyone knows. Chayra Shota v'katan. It's already an expression all over Shas. Our katan, for example. A katan. That's just a matter of whether the katan understands or doesn't understand. Is that al pi din katan ein bo das? What do you mean? All of a sudden, you remember from a mitzvah before 5 minutes before shkia, you were an imbecile, and the sun sets. Woo! All of a sudden, I become filled with intelligence. Doesn't work that way. I don't know if you have this romantic memory of your youth, but it doesn't work that way. It's al pi din. Al pi din. 5 minutes before shkia is ein bo das, and 5 minutes later is yesh bo das. You see, it's again an official status called a katan, a katan versus a gadol. What? Start again?
No.
Okay. A katan versus a gadol. So now I want to talk to you about today, though, is the situation of a cheresh. This is a serious halachic issue. A cheresh, first of all, just to clarify what the word cheresh means. As we have in the Brisa here, enough ayin aleph from an alpha, we spoke about this a while ago, where it says about the 8th, 10th line on Ayin Aleph from Aleph, to Tanya, Medaba v'ena shomea zeo cheresh, shomea v'ena daba zeo ilen, but, zev zeh hereg, pitchim l'chol d'vrayim. So, you may call someone who speaks but doesn't hear, you may call him colloquially a cheresh, he's not the part of the shayt of the cup, he's a kipikech l'chol d'vrayim. And certainly a medaber is a shomea v'ena medaber. It's certainly, it's not even called a cheresh, or even colloquially called an ilen. So what is a cheresh then? Eino shomea ve'eino medaber. Nebuch. You can't speak and he can't hear. So So what's, so he's considered to be a category of Cheresh, correct? I'm asking you the question now, the critical question. What's Pshat and Cheresh? Is Cheresh also Al Pidin? It's a halacha category. Cheresh is a Cheresh is a Cheresh? Or is Cheresh simply the absence of intelligence? The average person who's a Cheresh, who's from birth, cannot hear, and the prayer cannot learn to speak. So then he just lacks communication skills, and therefore he lacks the normal intelligence that's required to do the normal ma'aser in the Torah. Which one is it? That's the question. Nafka mina. I'll find you a Cheresh. By some trick or other, he'll be brilliant. He'll be brilliant. Well, one example of this might be, he never became a Cheresh with some kind of a medical condition. He was talking and he was hearing, and he was a professor of nuclear physics. And then maybe had some kind of car accident, Khalila, and then the nerves were hit, he can't speak, and he can't hear. He's still writing his PhD, he's writing out numbers, Nobel Prize winning nuclear physics things he's be able to write down. What's his status in halacha? Nebuch, then he wants to divorce his wife, Nebuch. Is he allowed to, can he divorce his wife? He's writing right now. He's middle of writing, as we speak, a Nobel Prize winning article on nuclear physics. Brilliant, should be brilliant. 190 IQ. Can he divorce his wife or not? That's the question. Yes, sir.
Well, can you make the same deep as the one in the one says that the Cheresh is giving the Shetz of the Chatham Nefrems and Mavim Arnaz, excluding the other Cheresh. In the same way, just like Shetz and Chatham are categorical classifications, not the differentials.
That's the unfortunate truth, I think. I mean, it's very, it hurts me to say it, but I think that Ellie is right. I think that all the evidence points in that direction. That Cheresh is, like Shota, and like Cotton, a Chal Hashem in the Gavra. And once you fit into this category called Cheresh, you can be the most brilliant person in the world. Al Pidin en Bodas. It's hard to get the words out of my mouth. But let's, you never have a 12-year-old Iluy. No? They have these Iluyim, you know, they're 12 and a half years old. They're no Shast. They know Mishnayos Bal Peh, and then they know then some of them the mathematical geniuses. We ain't Bodas. No? Yeah. Al Pidin ain't Bodas. And the average, you know, like a buck in this room, an average plain regular guy, turns 13 years old, and one day, he's a Yesh Bodas. I think I was 12 and three quarters, it's 100 times more brilliant. Kachazeh. Kach goes for Torah. How do we know? What's the source for all this? So I bought in a safer called. Called Tchumen. Tchumen Zion, as it comes out every year, beautiful paper. Avzal and Achem, the Goldman has a piece of this thing, Tchumen Zion. He writes, Halacha Moshe Misina. Halacha Moshe Misina. Look, we know, Cotton got a Halacha Moshe Misina. Wait, where's age 13 from 12? Where'd that come from? Pasha Halacha Moshe Misina. So too over here, that is a Chal Hashem Shoyt and a Chal Hashem Cheresh. He says, well, it's Halacha Moshe Misina. We don't have any Pesukim that we have to, we have no Pesuk. So it must be a tradition from Sinai. And that's it, Kacha. That's the apparent conclusion, which will chara we reach. Where do we see it? So first, the Gemara of Ayin Aleph Mebeis, which I asked you to see. On Ayin Aleph Mebeis, this is a very brief passage. The Gemara has an expression. We'll come later to the Rashi Ben Gamliel. We'll come to it in a few minutes. But in the middle of that, it says a lamis. What's a lamis? My alumnus, Afal Gav the Chazinale, the Charif. Right? Whoa, slowly. So the Gemara talks about the concept of Olamis, the phrase that you cannot do the Megarish Olamis. What does it mean? It means, even though he sees a Charif, he's very sharp, tremendously sharp individual. Doesn't make a difference, thank you very much. He's, once he has a status of a Cheresh, that's it. No matter how Choref he is, it doesn't matter. That's the simplest proof. The truth is, let's go to the original Machlokes that this Brisa, that Gemara's reference to, which we've been here before. On that Ayin Aleph and Aleph, we saw already. What did the Gemara say in Ayin Aleph and Aleph? The Gemara says, Meisve Cheresh lo holchlebo achar rizosov, achar kifitzosov, yachar ksav yodo, elev and metaltalin. Avalolagin. You don't follow the remizas and the kfitzas. I remember there's an expression once. I once remember seeing in the Ramban, where the it was being attacked, sort of side, blindsided by the Balamor with his digs. I think Ramban has a lot of remizosav ukfitzosav eni makir. That's a paraphrase of this Gemara. He's, thank you. His remises and his kvitzes. He's hinting and he's jumping. You know, he's making all kinds of sign language and everything. Can't write a get. Mor says Tanoi, Tanya, Omar Rav Shimon ben Gamliel ben Rav Amurim becherish mei koro. I will pikeach ben eschairish u kosev ben chosmen. Now, the mere fact that there exists a machlokas hatanoim as to the definition of cherish indicates that's a chal Hashem. It's some kind of an official status, and therefore reasonable tanoim can disagree on whether the status exists in some, with respect to someone who is pikeach min ischarish and has the ability to write. That shows something. It already teaches us something. Is he a ben das? The pashtus, yes. You can write after your ben das. That's the pashtus. I mean, ben das, I mean halacha, I mean, metzias was, reality. Someone can write something, you know, he writes a, right? He's writing a get. Who calls it? Something he's writing to get himself. He writes the get. Rashi, who up calls it? The man's intelligent enough to copy over this 12-line piece of paper with all those complicated words in it that you have in your copy of the get that you have somewhere in your that gave you. That requires a measure of intelligence. So there's no achlokes, he has some measure of intelligence. There's no dispute about that. Of course he's a ben das. What are they finding about l'chora? They're finding about, as we explained chat earlier, whether ksivas kedibur or lav kedibur. If ksivas kedibur, he's not an eino medaber v'eino shomer, he's a medaber v'eino shomer, because his ksivas like dibur. If, however, ksiva eino kedibur, he's an eino medaber v'eino shomer. Seems to be a dispute. Yes? Sign language is not the mechila. Sign language is not called dibur. Dibur means dibur with your mouth. Ksiva. Ksiva is the same as sign language. It's a method of communication, but it's not actual speech. When we talk about, let's say we're talking about halacha l'moshe misina, which is the Zalman Nechemia's phrase. Halacha l'moshe misina means hearing and speaking. The fact that you can sign language and you can lip read, for that matter. That is beautiful. It's wonderful. It's real. You know what? You know what? I mean, it's tremendous. It's a wonderful thing to do. But it does not confer upon you the category, the status of a shomer or a medaber, respectively. You have to be able to hear with your ears and speak with your mouth and utter sounds. That's what's called deep.
And to what point would what do I find the person you call a shomer?
That's certainly considered pikeach. More than that, some poskim say that you can hear with a chatzotzer. I think that's the pre-chodesh is that. It means you can hear with maybe a hearing aid. So that would say it's a modern day equivalent. If you can hear with a hearing aid, you're also not an ena shomer. You're a shomer, but with difficulty. And even all the lumbus, it's not really his voice. Whatever you want to say, the mice, you're hearing something. But in my opinion, if you're hearing something, you're not considered an ena shomer. Ena shomer is almost something you don't hear, hears nothing. Same with dibur. If you can mumble out a few words and be understood, I don't mean grunt, but if you can mumble out a few words, you understand you, hello, some people, many others of the people have trouble talking, but they can make them understood with difficulty. Hello, goodbye, you know, they speak, you know, haltingly and sometimes shakingly. That's considered dibur. I'm a big liberal. I'll consider any shmir to be shmir, any dibur to be dibur. But my unfortunate conclusion, based on what I see in the Gemara, is you have no hearing. And simply no ability to speak. I don't know. It looks in the Gemara to me that even if you have to be the most brilliant person in the world, that you have the status of a cherish. It's a very hurtful kind of a feeling. But I don't know how to get out of the Gemara. So I don't know how. Yes, Ali. If we pass, like, it would be in great shape. But on the top of the page, it says cherish yochol abetoch aksav kos venos and gedli ishto. Right? And the Gemara has, later on, kol afukim Rav Kana marab. We don't know this in the previous parak. We don't pass him like Rav Kana. We don't pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel either, Pashtus. How about Talia? We don't pass him like this. So, unfortunately, we don't see the path except Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion. What can I do? I feel bad. What am I going to do? Pashtus, you follow like the Tanakama. Now, question. Yeah, sorry?
That's probably differentiated between
All that discussion, l'chora, I'm going to preface my remarks, which I'm coming right now, l'chora is all irrelevant l'halacha, l'chora. In other words, Rashbag makes a distinction between nischarish meikora, cherish meikora, nischarish achakach. We don't have to discuss for a moment what that means, but before we even discuss it, we should take a step back and say, very nice, we'll have a discussion of what Rashbag meant, but we don't follow Rashbag. We follow Tanakama.
Therefore, any cherish is born a cherish, which is that nischarish. We're always
Pashtus, even if he was born with full, and I told you, he was a Nobel Prize winner. And he spoke and he heard, had some kind of a car accident, and now he just lost those two powers, those two senses, he can't do it. Never, it sounds like a Kuntanakama, has a status of a cherish. Even though it was brilliant, that's what the Pashtus is like that. But let's go back to Rashbag for a moment. And maybe a havamin is the definition of the word olam. It's not a havamin in reality. Right. The pasha is the machlokas, no? Isn't it clear the machlokas? Not so clear? Well, I said the Rashbag, the Chushi Tala Tanakama with the Yosef. Well, my olam is Afka the Chazin and the Chorot.
No, that's an answer.
He laughed. Rabbi Yochanan Havamina. In other words,
yeah.
Right?
No.
He laughed, right? No, but what I said before, no, I hear what you're saying. You asked me a Chatali Misasi. I quoted your Gemara before, which says Chazina Dechorif as being a proof. You're a Cherish anyway. You're telling me it's only a Havamina. Yet only, maybe only a Havamina.
What? My alum is Afkadah
Bedina Dechorif. Yeah, that's how he's saying. He laughed. Rabbi Yochanan. Hava mina Rashbag lefusha tama tanakamu.
No. But
it really is not. But it's not.
I'm not coming to.
No, but according to the hava mina, we would have said, my alum is afagav de chazina le de chorif. But I'm answering you, that line doesn't change. The facts of that line don't change. In other words, whether it's pshat or not, I know that. Whether it's pshat or not, the word alum is a matter of dispute. I agree with you. Probably not, we're not accepted. But we don't find that we should argue on those facts. That's what I meant before. That even if his chorus is like the chorif, he's still in the status of a cherish. That's what I meant. I don't find my argument that fact. You think it's, but yeah, that's how you lumped out in the Gemara? Maybe.
Certainly you also have that the Ibrahima. That might be
it. Oh, I understand, but I thought that when it says, my love, I forgot the chazin and the chorif, that.
Everyone will agree with that.
That thought. The Dove is suggesting that that line which I quoted at the beginning of the shiur as being a proof, that's not a good proof. It's only a havamin, it's not really true. Okay, maybe. Good point. Maybe I guess you can get out that way. Okay, very good.
Can
those,
yeah?
You're not a Gavitzog, yeah.
There's no way of explaining.
Yeah, no, I understand there are many other ways of explaining. I'm just saying, but I thought this line in the Gemara was not a matter of dispute. That's how I understood.
The Rambam.
I'm not saying anything over here. It's not to figure out from the Rambam. We'll see soon. Yeah, but that he passed like the line doesn't mean it's shadow here in the circuit. But I'm going to concede. Yes, the only one only have a mina. But I didn't think it was a havamina in the facts. And that fact that even the chorif has the status of cherish. I didn't think it was a matter of dispute. I didn't think so. But I guess you're right. I can't prove it conclusively. So I want to mention the Marashal for a moment. Here enough ayin aleph from an aleph, enough ayin aleph from an aleph. The Gemara and the Rishpam is the distinction between, Scharish, Meikora or not. Where? What's the basis for that? So the Marashal says, you can't take the Gemara literally. You can't do it. You can't say Becharish Meikora. Because Cherish Meikor literally, namely he was from the very birth, was unable to hear. It's impossible, says Rabbi Shlomo Luria, writing in the 1500s, it's impossible for a person who's born with no hearing to acquire intelligence. It's impossible. I'm sure he was describing the reality of his day. Poland, in the 16th century, you couldn't become intelligent if you were born without a sense of hearing. Impossible. Impossible. Can't be. It's impossible. So, the Rashash, he said, wait a minute. In the capital city of Vienna, he's not talking about it in the 19th century. So that's no machlokes. 20 years later, in the capital city, you saw that Rashash. In the capital city of Vienna, there's a place what he calls the base Talmud to teach writing skills to someone, and intelligence skills means to someone who's born without a sense of hearing. So therefore, we now with the new knowledge we have in the 19th century, we can understand the Gemara literally. Scherish me'ekaro, but he knows how to write. So how did Marshall understand? He could understand it literally. Well, it means me'ekaro means he would never reached a level of intelligence of a bar mitzvah. Before he became bar mitzvah, never. Before he became bar mitzvah, he was progressing along. He went to first grade, up to eighth grade. Before bar mitzvah, suddenly before the bar mitzvah, he has this accident and loses his sense of hearing and his speech. He can no longer speak or hear. At that point in time, we say, no. That individual is considered to be a cheresh me'ikara. Why? Why is he a cheresh me'ikara? I think what the Mashal is saying is, again, a lumdus. Because it goes as follows. Someone who attained official halachic status of bendas, he was bar mitzvah and he was able to hear and or speak. Once he attained that status, then he maintains it as long as we are guaranteed his intelligence is there. So therefore, if he was 13 and speaking and hearing, and he had a measure of intelligence, and now we can see by his writings that the intelligence level is maintained, even though he can no longer speak or hear nowadays, at this point in time, he's still considered to be a pikeach. In other words, you can't have the shame, pikeach, bichal upon you when you can no longer speak. When you cannot speak or hear. But if already it could have been conferred upon you as a gadol over bar mitzvah with a sense of hearing and or speaking, and you are now considered to be officially a bendas, once a bendas halakhically, and you still have a bendas realistically and been physically, then you still have the status of a bendas. That's how I understand the Gemara, according to the Marashal. Yes?
The Marashal is not going to.
Rashash is very coy. He doesn't say anything. What's the din? What's the din, Rashash? Doesn't say words. Just telling you that with the Rashash's assumption that it's impossible to teach writing and presume other intelligence to someone born with no hearing is no longer true. And therefore, finish a sentence. Write something else? No. What a funny Rashash. I wish he would have written another sentence. And therefore what?
Take it.
We have to say the word Meikar can be literally from birth, and he's able to write because of these. He went to Vienna to school. That's all the Rashash is really driving at. But it's like he leaves it hanging, and therefore, what's the din? Yes.
After the Rashash said that the Shach anymore, he was after Rashash, and he didn't have.
Well, you know, it was the highest intelligence society in the Gemara's time. The Gemara said they knew how to teach it. Then it got worse. We know the Dark Ages was what the society went down, even in the Goyish world in the Dark Ages. It was a calm down from what it was in some of the earlier civilizations, Greece, Rome. No, it's what they say in the history books. They don't teach that anymore, revisionist history. They said Greece and Rome were like culture and everything. They went to the plunge into the Dark Ages. No, they don't talk that way anymore. No more. So when I was in high school, I talked that language. It was the enlightened Greeks and the Romans. Who? What? Meridic. Right? Then they plunged into the Dark Ages, and there was just a bunch of brutes and barbarians there with no culture. So they didn't have a base Talmud for Chereshim. As the Rashash says, if they had it in Vienna, we now come all the way back to what was going on in the time of the Gemara. Maybe. Yeah.
What does the Rashash come with the assumption that if you become a Cheresh prior to your bar mitzvah, that new status you have is going to prevent you from becoming a Ben Das when you do become a bar mitzvah?
Where did he get it from? That's how he understood the Gemara. Because we know that if you're deaf from birth, there's nothing to do about it. There's no intelligence, no writing skills, impossible. That's his assumption. So what is the Gemara talking about? Someone who is Cheresh Meikar who's writing. It can't be. It's simply describing a flying elephant. It can't be. There's no such thing. So according to that Kasha, on the Metzias of the Gemara, no such thing. He was compelled to give a new interpretation. The Rashash says, no, we're not compelled at all. I saw in Vienna for school. So apparently in who knows where, in the Yerushalayim, where Shabbat came from, there was also such a school. That's all. Finished. Yerushalayim was very advanced those days. Okay. Fine. That's what he says. Now, remember the Yerushalmi had a whole, we spoke about this already in the last parak. The Shama is a mahalach over here, the machlokas, Rashbag and Tanakama really is, or the Ksiva Kadiva or Ksiva Lav Kadiva. We had that with Rav Moshe, that was with Avnei Nezer, right, thank you. Avnei Nezer with the question of what the Yerushalmi meant, writing in front of the guy, writing not in front of the guy, had a whole discussion. So therefore, L'chayra, according to that, Pshad, L'chav go against the Mashal, Pashtus. And Rashbag, to the contrary, Rashbag is saying that a cheresh meikara is a problem. It's not that he's saying because his ksiva cannot be considered to be a diba. It's a little bit complicated. How will learn according to the Yerushalmi? I don't want to go into that right now. I want to make my main point, which is so far that a cheresh is a halachic status al pidin, and the pashas again is that if you doesn't make a difference how intelligent you are. We see it from the simple reading of the Gemara in Alpha Beis, though double wants to be docha d'raya, it's only a havamina. And the Chor, we see it again over here from the machlokas Tanakam and Rashbag, or machlokas and Din. If someone okay, what machlokas and Din? Take him to a psychologist, do an IQ test, and find out if he understands or not. No, it's a halachic dispute again with the ksivas kedibur, ksivas lav kedibur, or as we said before with the Marshal, can a person who has a halachic status of a bendas maintain it even in the absence of speech and hearing? Right, that's however you would say, but it's asking some kind of a lumpus over here. Now, question becomes yes.
Just either way that we learn all along is either yochel daven yochel tzav or the farid. Either way, it shows that no matter if both of those are examples of being smart. Meaning, right. if he could, those both say that it's not a subjective thing. So therefore, you say, right. Either way, even if it's a havamin or.
But isn't third pshat the gemara? You can always the end the inami. You can maybe squeeze out now. Rabosa, this is important. So if we pass it against Rashbag, right? We pass against Rav Kahana, we pass in the Cheresh, forget it. Can't do it. No get. So the Kesef Mishnah, I guess this is, I don't know how far I got in my Lekomis. The Kesef Mishnah in Perek Beis, and it was Gerishin. There's a Rambam here in the room. Thank you very much. You don't have to worry about where you got. It was whatever you did, you did. You go out of the order's not marked. I couldn't put it all in the exact order of, you know, like we have in the playbills. According to the order of appearance, I can't do that because everything's interconnected. But in the middle of this whole long discussion of the, in Halacha Tezayin, talks about a cheresh, has a very interesting expression that I wanted you to see. He says that the pshat is that someone who is a cheresh, here it is. It's for those of this regular edition, Rambam, on page 161, it's the last narrow line. The last narrow line. Quotes that what the Rambam says, that cheresh in a shmeh ben medaber, in some chanal rimizoso, val tzavo, mishum, techashvinen lei kishote. So if I didn't know better, I would say the Kesef Mishnah is saying, yeah, but the Cheresh doesn't know any better. He's a shaita. He has no intelligence. That's what he's saying. But based on everything we said until now, I'm led to a different conclusion. I think that the pshat in the Kesef Mishnah, although it's not a simple reading of the words, is that chashvin al pi din kishote. Has a lachik status of a shota. Not that it means that he has no intelligence. Even if he has intelligence, he's able to write, he still has given the status of a shota al pi alocha. Now, as if this isn't bad enough, this, we'll call it a mini dochak in the lashon of the of Yosef Karo in the Kesef Mishnah, you turn to the Beis Yosef, it gets that much worse. Because in the Beis Yosef, here in Simen Kuf Kaf Aleph Sivov, which is where this is found, he uses it even a stronger language that he, in the Beis Yosef. Give me a second to find it for you. He's even a stronger language.
Wait.
I mean, at first glance, for those some of us who didn't learn the Gemara, just use the Kesef Mishnah, get the impression that the chassan of a cheresh is that he lacks intelligence. And if he could give him an IQ test and he passed, he's not a cheresh. Here it's even worse in a sense. In the Kesef Mishnah, and excuse me, in the Beis Yosef, by the same author, at the very, in the Siv Kuf Chafala Sivov, for those of this edition, it's page Lamed Zayin, column one. That's the we'll say the last narrow line on the right. Chayva shiyachol the davar mitoch aksav kosin get liyishtav atama mishum the kol lafuke. We don't pass that way. Why not? Shem the kol shein a shemem and a medaber data shagishta islay ukeshote choshiv. The expression comes from the Gemara. Data shagishta. What does shagishta mean? Messed up. Right? Shagishta. This is in page Lama Zion in this year. Ksim Kuf Chaf Aleph, right? Kuf Chaf Aleph. End of paragraph Avol Cheresh, before paragraph Umasha Kosa. Okay, so that's where it's to be found. So I see even this language, I think I have no choice but to say, is Lav Dafka. That's the Pashup Shah. Now, hold on a minute. Wait a minute. But although the Rabbi Yosef Karo says that data shagishta islay kashota choshiv doesn't mean that he's literally mixed up. He could be very intelligent. Alpidin is considered data shagishta and is considered to be a shota. Same as the case of Mishnah. He says treated as a shota, even though he's not a shota. The guy could be a brilliant scientist. I don't think it makes a difference. That's what I think he means, although I can see that the simple meaning of the words is not that way. But based on all the proofs that we have, that's how I understood it. Now, let's go a little further. Halacha l'moshe misinei, if that's the source, Rav Zalman Nechemia, Shalita has an interesting idea. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Malachim that these halacha l'moshe misinei only said for Klal Yisrael. Halacha l'moshe misinei. Don't apply to a Ben Noach. Don't apply to a Ben Noach. The Poskim say that a Ben Yisrael is a Bar Onshin from the age of 12 and 13 for girls and boys respectively. When it comes to a guy, Ben Noach, we know it's Chayav Misa, he's committed a sin. When is it? Well, a Katan is not punished. What's the difference? Where's the line between a Katan and a Gadol? There's no absolute line. What does it depend upon? His intelligence, but how intelligent he is. Because there is no Halacha L'moshe Misinai. That's what the Mefarshim explained. If a Katan becomes a Bar Deya, then he is considered to be a Bar Onshin. So too, according to this understanding, by a Cheresh. A Cheresh who doesn't hear, doesn't speak. So in Halacha, we have no choice. What can we do? Our hands are tied. Assuming it's Halacha, Moshe Sinai is treated as an Einar Ben Das. But if he's a Goy, a Cheresh, doesn't hear, doesn't speak anything. I have in my building, I have such a, someone who does that. Nebuch, doesn't hear, doesn't speak. A Goy is a kid. So, what's it in? So Zalman Nechemia says, he might be considered, if he has intelligence, in reality, if a psychologist evaluates him, and he finds out with whatever language they talk, they communicate with, so he's an intelligent person, then he would, l'chora, have a status by a Ben Noach of a Pikech. That's what he suggests. So the question becomes, how much day must you have? That's going to be the big question. You have to be, if you're intelligent enough, then if you're a Ben Noach, you would be chayiv and onshin. You would have all the status of a bar onshin. How much intelligence must you have? So my, yes?
We also see your
Adrab. So I want to know how much intelligence you have to have. Intelligence of a 1-year-old, of a 10-year-old. We know that there's a, you can draw a line with people's intelligence on an average basis, right? So how intelligent must you be? So I guess the first response would be, what do you mean? The average 13 to 12 year old. That'd be our first response. The average 12 year old girl, 13 year old boy has a certain level of intelligence. Now, you may be in the bottom half of intelligence. And therefore, when you were 13 and one day you were below below average. So it's hard to say. Can you imagine the same sort of thing? Like the person who's in the lower half of the IQ range is by mitzvah, not really by mitzvah, because he doesn't have the intelligence of the average 13-year-old. That seems to be unacceptable. So the question becomes, so then what is the line? You can't say the average, in other words, of the 50%, the 50th percentile of 13-year-olds. That means half the mitzvah is not going to be a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. No. So you can say like this. When it comes to Jews, 13 years old, finished. Right? We don't give an IQ test. When it comes to a guy, If he has the average intelligence of a 13-year-old boy, that's good enough. Even no matter what age. It could be 12, it could be 15. It's a possibility. It's a possibility. But then your effect saying is that a Ben Yisrael who wants to turn 13 and objectively reaches that standard, it's not necessary for him to have the average intelligence of a 13-year-old to become chayav mitzvah to be able to get married and divorced and the whole business. So that, you know, that's something which is of interest. Yes?
We're saying that a 13-year-old boy and 12-year-old girl have the same average intelligence.
That's another question. That's a very difficult, in today's world, as to watch out. Whatever you say doesn't work. I have a Gemara Nida. You have to watch out these days. Whatever you say, you can't win. Oh yeah? Okay, let's take a look. No, maybe you're right. But let's take a look. We know that the sugya over here about godless is Masech Tanida. That's over here in Masech Tanida. That Mem Heyamid Beis is the Mishnah. 13-year-olds, 12-year-olds, right? What? Oh, well, that's a sugi there too. That's a sugi. Okay? Now. Oh. 1 second. So here, Mehmed Bays, the Gemara quotes an opinion of Rebbe, or the distinction between a girl and a boy. My timer, the Rebbe. Dichsiv. Catch this now. Listen very carefully. This is a halacha. It's not just drush. This is not just, you know, stam, you know, this is real halacha over here. 12-year-old, 13-year-old. My time with the Rebbe. Listen carefully. Dichsiv. Fa'ivan Hashem Elokim es Hatzela. Malamen Shenosna Kodesh Baruch Hu. Bina Yisera Be'isha Yoser Nibish. What do you mean, Bina Yisera? What do you mean? Women are smarter than men. Chas v'shalom. It means they mature more quickly than men. That's, everyone knows that. Everybody knows that women are maturing. No? I mean, it's not a double poshut. So therefore, I'm not embarrassed as a man to say that a 12-year-old girl can have the same level of intelligence as a 13-year-old boy. I'm not embarrassed to say it. Now, intelligence may not only mean book smart. Intelligence may mean maturity, you know, how mature you are, how you deal with things in the world. I don't think intelligence means that we say, what do you mean, what you, in, you know, how smart you are on an objective test, that's what it means. They weren't literate even in those days. What do you mean intelligent? How you deal with the world, how mature, how you understand about what's going on around you. So it seemed to me it would be to the contrary, an affirmation of reality, I think, that the woman has this Bina Yisera, and it means she matures more quickly. Maybe the man catches up, maybe even passes her. I don't care what you say these days. But at age 12, I think that she's more mature than he is. Isn't that a pusher than all the psychological studies to this day? I think so. Yeah?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're going to start evaluating also based on maturity level, I mean, you're going to be intelligent and programmed.
They
have to be
25. Today
people are not as mature as 12 and 13 as they were
this time. Could be. Now, here's a question. It's hard to imagine that you should, so what you're going to do is the bottom half of the average, let's talk about Klal Yisrael now. So if Klal Yisrael say we don't need it, so what's going to happen? A guy has a certain level of intelligence, so we thought it meant you don't need the actual age of 13. But you mean to tell me you have a guy 13 and a youth 13, and the guy has have the same level of intelligence? It's hard to me to figure out what's going on over here.
Both directions.
Could be. So it's hard to imagine for me to imagine that someone who's 13 years old, the bar mitzvah, and he's in the lower half of the IQ range, that or maturity range, whatever you want to call it, that he's not considered bar mitzvah. That's to me almost impossible. It's impossible. It is impossible. You have, for example, see, there are two issues over here. There's an issue of physical maturity and we'll call it mental maturity. Physical maturity is also women precede men. That's what they call puberty. That's what they call simanim. So the women are also more precocious, if you will, physically than men are. Right? And that's what's called simanim. And to be Baharaspas, you need simanim and shanim. Simanim is physical signs of maturity. And shanim is years. Passions in both, women are more quick to achieve maturity than men are.
That's the passion.
Huh?
Also,
I think so. I don't know if there's any source for it. So the question would then be, so how do, if simanim come on the average of 12 and 13, so then how can 50% of the people be Bar Bas Mitzvah? They're missing simanim. This is the question which I've never really got a good answer for. I mean, it would make it even worse. The Poskim say, the Gemara says over here, in this daf and Ksubas as well, I think, some other Masechtas, that if, here, certainly here in Nida, that if a man or woman develops hairs, pubic hairs, before the age of 13 and 12, doesn't count. Shuma b'yalma. That's a growth. So I was wondering about this. So good. So what he has doesn't count. Now comes by mitzvah. Ooh, big deal. Ooh, today's by mitzvah. So what happened now? Well, all the hairs that grew till today don't count for anything. Because it's shuma b'yalma. Now, the sun sets, boom. He suddenly now, everything became, now viewed as, what happened now? The hair grew now in 1 second? That's not exactly clear to me what this is all about. How do we assume that the average bar mitzvah bocha has shnei simanim? What kind of rova? Most talk about chazak of the rova. Rova said most of mitzvah boys have this, and therefore we can assume that they are gedolim. We rely on chazak of the rova for their abundance only, not for doraisis. That's why it's quoted in Poskim that a bar mitzvah bocha should not read the Torah on parsha zok. Happened in my house more than once. That the bar mitzvah bocha parsha zok does not read the from the Torah. This is a shalom of doraisis. Everything else is the rabbanon. Davening for the Yom is the Rabbanon, Kriyas the Torah is the Rabbanon, Kaddish is the Rabbanon, Baruch is the Rabbanon. Benching Mezumim, not so simple. But the minute Kriyas are all that the Baruch of Abbas is benching Mezumim. But Kiddush, no. You have a Bar Mitzvah Bacha and his mother, or there, the father was away on a business trip, so the mother should make Kiddush. They're my feminist. The mother should make Kiddush. Oh. Why can't you just do a Bedika? So I'll tell you why. You can. What if you find nothing? Oh. I once had a meister. It was not the bacha who was bar mitzvah, a Shabbos bar mitzvah. So I used to go to Shabbos bar mitzvah. I still, once in a while I go. This was the time, I feel it goes back. My wife was expecting momentarily, and she wouldn't let me leave to the Shabbos bar mitzvah. Wouldn't let me leave. Sure enough, I think the baby was born that week, I think. So I wasn't able to leave. I wasn't there. It was Pasha Zachar. So I got reports later on that the Bar Mitzvah Bacha Lane Pasha Zohar. So that's what I asked the father, and I said, no problem, he said, I did a Bedika. I said, what? He said, yeah. He said, yeah. You know, my son was getting to taking a shower. I looked under his arm, and there was some hair under his arm, so that's a Bedika. And I said, first of all, it's a big question on the top, he did. Whether that is considered a bedik or not. The Chash says that's not necessarily a determinant. But of course the big question is, if you come up with nothing, he can't lay. Because we allow a Bar Mitzvah Bacha to lay because we just rely on the Chazakah. You only rely on the Chazakah if you don't look. Once you look and there's nothing there, there's no Chazakahs anymore. Not worth taking a chance, Chazakah.
Why is it father don't hurt the son knows?
What?
The son knows. So we still
have
to
Zaki and the son though. Yeah, the truth is with the Bar Mitzvah Bacha, we don't ask him any questions. I never heard of the following case. A Bacha is a Bar Mitzvah, and he reads something in one of these books, or I don't know, and he comes to the father and says to the rabbi, says, I'm sorry, I can't land the Shabbos. I've Bar Mitzvahed many young men in my community. No one ever came to me the day before and said, Rabbi, I can't land it. I just can't. Bar Mitzvah boys are not supposed to even know about these things. They don't look about. They don't know about it. They're only 13 years old. Let them just be. Apparently, it's not such an Efshe Levara. It's not just, you know, Efshe Levara has a certain standard. It's not so Efshe over here. It's a Dabat Sadua. You know, that's the Pashtus. Yeah.
I don't know what you say in terms of the college, and I'm sure they're in college, 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 I'm s But there's a physical maturity you can see, right? So average.
So it's an average.
No, it's not average. Because the Gemara, there's a Mishnah, I see, like, sure, specific simon. How many saras?
But there's still an average. It's still an average. And if it's all said and done, it's still going to be some kind of an average. Of course, these averages can change with based upon nutrition. It's well documented. Now in America, there's more nutrition, so it's earlier than it used to be, various simonim. Whatever it may be. I'm spending too much time on this now.
Okay.
Yes?
How long is it considered
Bar Mitzvah?
Next week we assume
Bar Mitzvah. Oh, no. Would you let a 14-year-old read Parsha Zohar? I would try to avoid it. Do I hear 15? 16? Oh, so once he starts to shave, the person, if he's already shaving, then they can just sort of assume that he's shaving. It's not a problem. But some boys don't shave till 21. You want this room in? 21. Or older. What's nothing wrong? Nothing to be ashamed of. Well, we know many people who just, that's still develops. I mean, other people who get married, they're still not shaving. Yeah. Some of them have full beards, they don't share. Some of them, for them it's a big embarrassment, you know, for us, you know. For them, there's no secrets over there. Either a guy can be a 16, 17 year old with a beard down to here, and his brother, who could even be older in theory, is just, nothing there. So, it doesn't mean anything. It's a little longer till the facial hair grows in. It doesn't prove anything. It doesn't mean anything. These guys get married, they have children, still have no beard, and then 100% because that's it. That's just the term. People mature differently in different ways. Anyway, it's hard to bring absolute proofs of these things. I just wanted to bring it to your attention, but there seems to be shot in the Gemara Nida Mem Hamid base.
If you have a beard, at your bar mitzvah already, then
pastors, you're wrong to be better about that. People shave about mitzvah, so it's not uncommon. So then I would say that, okay, we pastors, what do you mean? I wouldn't allow Mishim low plug. This guy has a beard, what could he call it a beard? Well, I don't allow it. In Marshall, I don't allow it. And again, it happened in my house quite a few times. I mean, I lamed myself each time. Three of my boys were about mitzvah, actually four. But, three of my sons had mafter Parsha Zohar when I was 13 years old, and none of them leaned Parsha Zohar. No bedikis, no maisis, no geshef. No. I leaned myself, and okay. I even had a Parsha's Parah kid. Not my own. Parsha's Parah. I wouldn't let him lane either. Yeah. Oh, Zivana Tumul. Well, Rabbi Parsha's Parah, what Parsha's Parah? The Rosh Hashanah Aruch says, yes, Shom it's the rice, and I play a chance and take a chance. So I leaned Parsha's Parah. I'm having a big Balkari. The power is pretty long. It's not so easy, you know. It's often easier. Anyway, again, sidetracked. So Rabosai, I wanted to discuss something which is a very painful topic. I think it has to be spoken about. And that is, there are people today who are what used to be called, I don't know, we'll call them today, now this is the name, developmentally disabled. We'll have to discuss at what age. I don't know yet. It's sort of a little bit hanging. I mean, I would have said on my own that you need the intelligence of a 13-year-old, but it's almost an untenable conclusion for the half the people are not bar mitzvah.
No,
if a non-Jew has to be 13, and for Jews, no. What? So if he doesn't know anything, he's still...
That's what it is.
Objectively. Good. This is my next question. So Kwata Chaim, so let's assume... Let's for argument take a student about going after an average intelligence of a 13-year-old. Let's assume that for a moment. Now what's going to happen? So when it comes to a year, you'll say, nope, goes to retirement, he's 13 years old, he's a bendas, and if he's 12 and a half not, then that's it.
Yeah.
Now I ask you a question.
50% of people don't have the average intelligence of a 13-year-old.
Exactly. Exactly. So Chaim is going to say, no matter. As long as you're Jewish, you'll have a goy, so it'll come out that 50% of 13-year-old goyim are not b'nei onshim. So you have many, so you have the bell curve. You'll have 12-year-old, 10-year-old, 9-year-olds who are bar onshim, and 15, 16, who are not b'nei onshim. That's the bell curve. You all know what a bell curve is. No? Everyone knows what I mean? So. Yeah. So now, I have the following question. Developmentally disabled, that's the new word today. They used to call them when I was a kid, retarded. Now you can't use that word anymore, it's a dirty word. Everything has a new whatever I mean. The word developmentally disabled is also an entire range of disabilities. We within the same illness. There's Down syndrome. Remember those Down syndrome? You're not allowed to use that word today. Down. You used to call mongoloid something. Not allowed to use that word either. Down syndrome. The whole range. CP. That word you're still allowed to use. Cerebral palsy. A whole range. Give me a kutza la kutza. So let me ask you a question. You'll say the boy turns 13. Doesn't really understand. The low range. Doesn't really understand. So what is he? He says he's bar mitzvah because he's 13. Halacha Moshe Messina, he's 13. If he'd be a goy and he did something terrible, he'd not be punishable because he doesn't have intelligence. He's a yid, kach gazer Torah, halacha Moshe Messina, that he's a bar onshin and a bar mitzvah and a bar everything. What do you say, Chaim? He's not a cheresh. He speaks. He hears. Oh. So now, Chaim wants to brand this young man in the category of shot. Okay. You have to understand what is a shot, what's not a shot. So, a shot in the Gemara Chagiga, yesterday, Daf Yomi, or something the day before, Daf Gimel of the base, is someone who does crazy things. What are the three or four examples? What are the three or four examples? First price is wild. What do you do? He sleeps in the cemetery at night. Goes out alone at night, sleeps in the cemetery, and rips his clothes. What's up? Yeah. And the other brisa, whatever you give him, he loses. Some of us may be, you know, you put it out of it, I lost. Oh, I don't know, my baby, that's destroyed. I'm not sure.
He says free as slaves, so that's.
Well, it means you did an action to lose it, not just time you lost it. You know, we lose things. We don't do an action. You lose your keys. You lose it. You lost it. Maybe on purpose only. But what's on purpose mean? Okay, hold on. Slowly. The question is: it applied to this person who doesn't have any of those characteristics? Just never he is slow. He doesn't understand things exactly. Would that be considered a shot or not? So let's go slow. So Rav Zalman Nechemia has it. It's a beautiful piece. He calls the Rambam in Hilchos Eidos. I think it's a very, very important Rambam. And that's the critical for our analysis today. Which is, you know, this is really important. And I get the shouts of Hask on a fairly regular basis. What Bochum and Hask, they ask, what is this boy? Is he Chayav and Mitzvah? Is he not Chayav and Mitzvah? A little bit Kashi, a little bit Shabbos. What is the halachic status of these people who are just, you know, they're made differently. It's made differently. So what is our halachic status? So we believe Allah has something to say about everything. There's no nothing which Allah doesn't address. But what is it? Is it really a shaitan? Doesn't sit right with us. Well, the Rambam says, this is in Perek Tes, Nuchas Eidus Halacha Yud. Hapsoim bi'oser. Shomer psoim Hashem. Yom HaPosim. A pesi is someone who's doesn't understand. So many of us might be psoim. Psoim bi'oser. Extremely not understanding, lacking understanding. She'ein makirin dvarim she'sosim ze'ezeh. V'yavinu v'nyonei ha'dovah k'derach she'mevinu shar amor. Even we're amoratzim. But we still understand things. They're even on a lower level than that. Yeah. What's it in? Hare elu bichlal hashotim. The bichlal hashotim. The question: How close is it really shotim? So the sma in Siman Lamed Hei Choshen Mishpat Sifkot and Chaf Aleph says doesn't really mean he's a shotim. La b'shem shote olav. No. Rather means ain't no seichel gomor, ain't no maven shem dover kederach shem avinu shabbat adam. But he's not really a shot. A shot is never someone who's probably will use the word psychotic. He doesn't know what he's delusional. That's a shelter, right? This person is not psychotic. He's not delusional. Just very limited. Unfortunately, very limited. Doesn't understand that much. So the Zalman Nechemia, he thinks that this psul of shot of pesi is a psul misvara. In absolute contradistinction to cheresh, shota, v'kotam, that are halakhic categories. That's my whole yisod for today. There's a chaloshem cheresh and a shota and a kotam. As you fit into that category, then you are at one rule. If you don't fit in, you're another rule. We don't measure your intelligence. But a pesi, who's not a cheresh and not a shota, not a kotam. Even the Gemara says v'chalal shota doesn't really mean a shota. It's a smachas. akin, similar, for the lack of a better word, to use this comparison sake, but it's not really a shoter, then it's purely based upon svara, my nafkamina. So Zalman Lechemi writes, you can teach him. You can teach him. We said before, a cherish. You can't, I mean, if you can't speak and you can't hear, no matter what you teach him, you'll be brilliant, you're still going to be a cherish. And a cotton, tool by mitzvah, will be a cotton, no matter what. A shayda, look, some shayda, but pills, not pills. If you're a shayda, that's it. But a pesi, if you train him, put in hours and hours and hours and train him properly, then maybe he can understand certain things. And if he understands that which he's doing, it works. In contradistinction, Rabosai, to other areas, for example, a cheresh shota v'katan, they cannot marry, they cannot divorce, and they cannot buy or sell. To the rice, right? Doesn't work. Can't do it. So what about whatever needs das, they can't do. When it comes to a pesi, it's not necessarily so. Comes to a pesi, maybe there's certain psalim you can teach them the concept of monetary ownership and buying and selling, but not of marriage and divorce. There could be other psalim we can teach them about marriage and divorce, but not about monetary ownership. So by one, they'll see the getting the condition is good with the rice, but not the mecher. And one's the other way around. It all depends what they're able to be trained, right? what are they educable? What can you bring them up to some level? So we don't know what level is. Maybe 30, average 13-year-old. That's the highest level we could possibly imagine. Or maybe something less. If it's less, how less? We don't know yet. We don't know. We have to have sources and shas. Yes, Yehuda.
Do we possibly
like Rish Lakish? We pass passes against Rish Lakish.
So in which case, how do we know, I mean, let's say we see a person, how would we know that
the average individual? No. We'll explain to you. No, chas v'sholom. When you see him and he's functioning normally on medicine, he's for sure ben das. Question if he's not functioning normally and then he can still get better with medicine, that's the machlokes of Yochanan Rish Lakish. No. Let's be very careful. Okay. Let me go a little further. So, Zalman Lechem, it goes to Chaim Brisker. Chaim and the Chibur and the Rambam and the Hilchos Chalitza, Perek Dal, Lacha Tezayin, says as follows. And we find a distinction between getting the kiddushin on one hand and chalitza and ksivas aget on the other hand. Getting the kiddushin, Reb Chaim writes, you are the person who created, you the mekadosh, you the megarish, and you need absolute das to create it. And a cheresh shot of the kodesh is not ben das, and having him being coached, gadol omen al gavav will not help. Won't help because you need das al pidin. Das al pidin cannot come about through coaching. Doesn't work. Because Alpidin, there could be geniuses. Is this Alpidin? It's not B'nai Das. However, with respect to Chalitza, and with respect to Ksivas, I get, which you have to have Din Lishmo, etc., etc., these don't require Das, Reb Chaim. They require Kavana. Big difference in the Lumbus. A Das, when you create something, you Das. Kavana, you do an action, and the Torah creates something. So Reb Chaim, the Torah creates the fact that she's no longer Zukuka Liyova. The Torah creates the fact that this piece of paper with this writing of the Shema is a kosher gift. You have to have the kavanah to achieve that. But it's the Torah which actually creates it. Your kavanah is just a prerequisite for the Torah to come along and be matir el shuk or to pronounce it as a kosher gift. As opposed to getting married or getting divorced or buying and selling, where you yourself are doing it. You're creating the marriage, the divorce, or the sale. That's a fundamental yisod of Reb Chaim. Nafkamina for cheresh for godolam and al gabbah. It's a work that does not work. So if the actual getting condition does not work, the mechira presumably with the rice would not work. But if either chalitza or ksivas again, it would work. That's what it says in Reb Chaim's say. Memela, all this that we say wouldn't work for getting the condition with the rice is by a cheresh, which is a halachic category. But if I have a pesi, and the pesi we said is not a lack of character, it's a matter of how educable he is. So if you can educate the pesi and explain to him what marriage means, and he gets married, or what it means buying and selling property and he sells, then on a level of Doraisa, it would be valid. And it could be it's valid, as I said before, with Doraisa, for sale and not marriage, or marriage and not sale. All depends what can get into his head. There's no chasana, as we said before, in the Gavra. The Gemara says cheresh of the cotton. Those are halakhic categories. That's what Reb Chaim said as well. So Reb Zalman Lechem is saying that a pesi with respect even to getting the Kiddush and Mechira would be the equivalent of what Rabbi Chaim said was a status of a Cheshit of a Katan with respect to Ksivas Aget and Chalitz. In other words, there's no official halachic shortcoming. It's the matter of the Metzias. Either Metzias for Kavana for Chalitz or Ksivas Aget, which Rabbi Chaim is talking about, or as Rabbi Zalman Lechemes said, for a Pesi, where there's no official halachic impediment, it's the matter of the Metzias. So respect the mitzvahs and getting the Kiddush and the Mechira as well. That's what Rabbi Zalman Lechemi writes in his beautiful Maimon in Tchumen Chelek Zayin. Oh. Now. Now. Yes, Will, I'm sorry.
What would be called a peasant? What about a person who would be totally normal every area that they want to be?
Ooh, well, let's talk even more relevant. What if he's a perfectly normal person, but he's what we call a shoteh ledover echad? He has one mishigas. But this is some humdinger mishigas. There's a famous get of cleave. The cleaver get. What? The man thought it was the Mashiach. Now, in every generation, b'chol dor v'dor, there were those, going back about 2,000 years ago, I would say, b'chol dor v'dor, there were people who thought they were Mashiach. Okay? This is the guy hanging out here right in front of the yeshiva for years. No, not in your time. For years, years. I'm the Messiah, and it goes around. He wasn't zayin for this. For years, right? For years. Give out tetla. Yeah, he's got Tedlock. This proves it's Gematrius, he's Mashiach. That's crazy. So, what kind of. But otherwise, 100% no. Okay, it's not a joke. He wants to divorce his wife now. Can he do it or not? I think that was against the Get Me Cleave. But there was a tremendous fight. I think they wrote a sefer called the Or HaYosher. The Or HaYosher is a sefer which has all about this Machlekes. What is he? What Alach status does he have? So, it's interesting. The Rambam is the source for the Machmir. Rambam has to see in Perek Tes and Uchos Eves Halacha Tes. He seems to say that a Shote L'Dover Echad is a Shote, and that was to be a major problem at first glance with the Gittin of these individuals. That Nebuch to be stuck Agunas, man develops these symptoms. Rambam's lashon is it gives examples. What are the examples? Mahalach Arum, Shabbat Kalim, Zorak Avonim. That's more or less the three things, more or less. Prisha, Pilpus, Wahas is a little bit different, but more or less. Elakomi Shanitif Dato, Venim says Dato Meshubesh is Tamid. Vidovim Advarim. One thing I'm sure that he thinks he's Mashiach. And he always thinks he's Mashiach. Av Bishum Medaber, Vishol, Kinyan, Bishar Advarim. Hare is a puzzle. Uvichlal Shotim Yechoshev. Yes. Schizophrenic might be in this category.
One of the things you listed, or one of anything?
Anything. Dovim and Advarim. Dovim and Advarim. Now, it's interesting, it's fascinating. When the Rambam says, I don't know if you picked this up, and Hilchos Eved, you saw it even, and Hilchos Eved, he says, Hashot the Apostle Eidus Min HaTorah. You know why? Fisha Eino Ben Mitzvahs. Not Chayim Mitzvahs. He's not a Baron Das. He's not Chayim Mitzvahs. Why? Why did he say he's not Chayim Mitzvahs? He should have said not a Ben Das. Since when does Mitzvahs come into play? Yes? Maybe. Okay. But, hold on a second. Why did he say he's Pashi? He's not a Ben Das. So this was the saving grace that Rav Moshe Zatzal has in his tshuva on this topic. Who was a guy, I'm not kidding, I kid you not, in his town, who also thought it was Mashiach. No, I'm serious. In Luban, a guy thought it was the Mashiach, and he authorized the get. And Rav Moshe is a young man with a lengthy tshuva, and said, listen, it's Makom Miguna, I'm going to write the get. He wrote the get. Same thing as the Ariyosha. Same machlokes. From what I understand, everyone thought that that was good except for the rabbi in Frankfurt. The Cleve is a town near Frankfurt. The Rebbe of Frankfurt said the get was no good. So the family of the woman was in hysteria. What do you mean our daughter can't remarry? They wrote shout out to all the Gedolei Yisrael. And I think they all wrote back that the get is good. Against the Frankfurt the Rebbe. Interesting is they say the following story, that when the Frankfurt the Rebbe was nifter, that the Balabat, the Malakova, the Rav said, any rabbi or the tshuva against the Kliva get, for the Kliva get, we're not going to accept him as a rabbi in our community. Because he wrote a tshuva against a previous rabbi, and out of respect, we're not going to take it. That disqualified with that, every rabbi in Europe, of any state, of any stature, because they all wrote tshuvas there, and the family was panicking. Every god wrote a tshuva, being matched to the Kliva get. So the story is told, I read in one of the svarim, that the haflah of Pinchas Halevi Horowitz, who was the Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer, everyone's a very famous rabbi, who happened to live in Chassidisha, one of the early Chassidisha Gedolim. So he also wrote a tshuva, he matched the tshuva, but the story goes, he was about to send the tshuva, so in those days, he used to write tshuvas in wedding, in a ballpoint pens, and then it would take they had one bottle full of ink, and another bottle full of ashes, and the ashes they would pour over the tshuva, and ashes absorb ink quickly. So this way, in 5 minutes, all the ink is extra ink is absorbed, and they can send it, Pony Express, it won't get smudged, etc. So the story is told that when the Pinchas Horowitz reached for the bottle of ashes by some mistake, he reached for the bottle of ink and poured the ink all over the tshuva. Being a chassidisha, so a siman hashamayim. So I'm not going to send the tshuva. Could have written it again. I'm going to take it for an hour. Didn't send it. Guess what? He got the job. He got the rabbi in Frankfurt because he was only gadol of such a high level that had not written, actually had written, that had not sent a tshuva, being machshir to cleave again. That's how the story goes in the books. Now, Rav Moshe Zal has a yisod, which I saw, I think independently, Rav Zalman Lechevi also has the same yisod. I think it goes back even to, I don't have the Arayosha. Who's going to the library today? You know, someone in the library maybe can be favored. Can you, anyway?
Okay.
Sometime, yeah. Or Hayosha. Yes, Moshe Shapiro, you should know where it is. Or Hayosha. Maybe another same book. Or Hayosharim. Could be the two svarim. He'll know. If you get out the library and say, when the Kliva get, I'll show it to you. It's a remarkable, it's a group of many, many tshuvas. Here's what Moshe says. Amazing. Moshe says, why did the Rambam say over here that you put them in kolomitz? What do you say that for? It's irrelevant. It says Rav Moshe, the two dinim, two separate halachas. The halacha of shota with respect to gittin, kiddushin, mechira, etc. For that, you have to be a shota l'chol dov, an absolute shota. And either you have the siman of the gemara in chagiga, it's a machlokas l'chagiga, you need all three or all four or one of those, etc. But some other mishigas about Mashiach, you're kosher to write a get, you're kosher to get married, you're kosher to buy and sell houses, no problem. But when it comes to edus, you're not kosher to edus, but you're chayav b'chol ha-mitzvos. He quotes, I think, Rav Zalman Lechevi, quotes from Rav Bekama, Rav Peches, but the Gemara is talking about Eved, and then Eved chayav ha-mitzvos, and Eved potam ha-mitzvos, most of these derived from somehow outside of Shaveh, from Isha, and Kotten, so you're not chayav, we're also postulators, you're also postulators. What do you see? If you're not chayav b'chol ha-mitzvos, then you would be possibly Yedis. That's right over here. A shota l'davar echad. So for the davar echad, he's considered al pi alocha to be potter. It's not just that he can't do it. He's al pi din. I said before, shem gavra. So the gavra is potter from this mitzvah, which relates to his mishagas. So therefore, he's not chayiv in all the mitzvahs. You're not chayiv in all the mitzvahs. You are not kosher Yedis. So Rav Moshe will say, a shota l'davar echad is possibly Yedis. Right, Rambam, but it's kosher to get in the kiddushin of mechira. Okay, one more time. Why did the Rambam put this whole thing over in Hilchos Eidos? And why did he say potzup ain't a ben mitzvah? You say it's not a ben das. So Rav Moshe says no, he is a ben das because for other things, except for these things, he's Mashiach. Everything else in the world is normal. So sit up, you'll have to be a ben das. And his get is a get. His kiddushin is kiddushin. His mechira is a mechira. All these things exist. But. Since he has certain shtusen, and the shtusen presumably would pat him up within from certain mitzvahs, which he cannot focus on, let's say, the shtusa or things or whatever, I don't know how it works, and every shtus has to be measured separately. So therefore, he's not chayav b'chol mitzvahs, and there's no chibetz lachatzoyer of Moshe Rabbeinu's shaloshim. So therefore, he's potter, and therefore he apostle the Eidus. Eidus has to be chayav mitzvah as per b'makana peches. Because of zal and chemiyot, you can derive from eved the cotton the sara shava to potter a woman. An eved derived from a woman and a cotton rather. And here too, in a chayav b'chol hamitzvos, that's why you would be posel the Eidus. You only posel the Eidus, but you can give a get, and you can get sell a house, and you can get married. The works. That's where Moshe's children. That's right over here. Here too. Both say they come out the same thing word for word. It's true. It's Chelik Aleph and Evan Ezer. Simon Kuf Chof. It's an amazing tshuva. Yes, Solomon.
What do you mean by that you can coach the essence of the understanding? What does that understanding mean?
I believe. And I'm not an expert. I believe that they're doing great things and things like Yachad and other Hask. They take mostly youngsters who don't understand certain basic things. They put in a lot of hours and they try to explain it to them. And they get it after a while. They understand this. They wouldn't have understood other ones.
For example, I know people, men like this, where it's built. They understand the way it's feeling, but at the same time, they don't understand like a lot of things that they can. Yeah, you have to control bodily function.
Well, that's a different issue. There's an issue with not giving tefillin to someone who can't give a goof nucky. It has nothing at all to do with intelligence. It has a stomach ache, a perennial stomach ache. The most chol has put them on a tefillin. He can't help it. Can't control himself. It has nothing to do with. It's a different issue. You're asking, there's another important issue, not our issue. Okay, let me just. I just want to read this first. It's too funny. You can't get on the mitzvah over here. Look at this guy. Omar al Atma Shul Mashiach, okay? And he didn't have a shtusin. He wanted to be from the Torah to be a shliach tzibur, and he fights with all his might. And he once took a sefer Torah and ran away with it. And he went from city to city. So he has to be talking as a olam, and he grabbed things until they were giving back money to tzviduk gemilas chasod. And then he climbed trees to give drushes from the top of trees, treetops. Yeah. And he went naked. And I'm like, Adam Rishon Kodem Achet. This is a real boy.
That's one of the things.
That's a problem. Yeah. Okay. But it all comes if he thinks it's Mashiach. Otherwise, perfectly normal. This is your application. He's describing a real life situation. So he got married because for 3 years he was normal. He was actually a malavan in the yeshiva. He was a little bit sad, and he didn't like to talk to people so much. He was a little bit down. After a few days after he got married, he went crazy again. The same business. That's 8 years have passed, and now he went to his father's house. He's working the field. He's perfectly normal again. He sees, talks normally, does normal, and he's very much spoke to himself. Perfect. Has to give again. Doesn't want. Why? For the regular reasons. He wanted money, you know, whatever he wanted, you know. He wanted money. He wanted to be a shaytan. He wanted money. That's in Russia. But not a shaytan. He wanted money. So now, the question is, can you give the get? So, he could fight in Rav Moshe. He still thinks he's Mashiach. But, now he knows he can't do those crazy things anymore. What's it do? This is the shit. This is Allah Halam Ma'isa Shalom. 1929. Luban. So Rav Moshe goes through the whole sugya. Says, if you see from the Gemaras, one of two things. Either you have to, I put on this to the last, literally the last Maramukh of the Mordechai, the last line seems to say, not one line there, that if you don't have one of those specific siman of the Gemara, you're not a shaytan. Not only those three. One of the three, or all the three. That's it. Anything else, not. Okay? Nothing else. If you have a chance, it's in the Beis Yosef, I also have to see a Beis Yosef. Yeah, I think in Kuf Chafalav somewhere. Maybe Kuf Yotess. That also says the same thing. Rabbeinu Simcha says the same thing. But the Rambam seems to say, any Dabar Echa. So yeah, it's like this. Why is he saying only Echos Eidus? And why is he saying that it has to do with mitzvahs? What's going on over here? He says, no, he says. No, Rav Moshe writes. If you are a Shoyim Dabar Echa, so you're potter from those mitzvahs shen no goes by aveirasam v'kiyumam v'shtuso. I'll give you a marshal. Let's do it as a mitzvah d'araisa. Ani am a munish v'lem v'viyas ha-mashiach. We think, wait a minute, I came already! So he's potter from that mitzvah. I'm a shagas. I mean, Yeah? All right? So, and he explains to Moshe, that was a shirt that's potter, and it's not that he's an onus. So if a guy has no arms, he's potter in a tefillin, so he's potter in a no! Pumu the carbon, he wants an expression. He wants to do it, but he says, the limit is that he can't do it. He's not potter in tefillin, he just Nebuch has no arms, Nebuch. He's not potter from tefillin. But this guy, the shirt there is Alpidin, potter. And if he's potter, so even if he does a mitzvah, he's not yotze at the time. That's the famous kfol shedoch amatzvah yotze. That's after Rosh Hashanah Chavches. But by kinyanim, doesn't make a difference. Kinyan or kinyan. A goy could also make a kinyan. If you're potter from a mitzvah, so even you're potter in all mitzvahs. Because since you're not chayav in the mitzvahs when he's not a bendas, it's ein chiyuv ben mitzvahs lechatzoyin. I'm very ridiculous. You're not half, no half baked chiyuvim. If you have everything, you're part of everything. I'm not talking about honest, but in principle. And this Rav Moshe has a long discussion, the Bablis, the Yerushalmis, back and forth. That's from the Rambam. Based on this, he says that the Gittin, the Kiddushin, the Truma, Kinyonim, Shlich, Lashchita, Gamma, the Taisvis, that if you're not a Shot was one of the things found in the Gemara and Chagigah of Gimel. You are a pikeach. Only when it comes to mitzvahs and therefore edus, do we say he's out against the Torah's git. Torah's git and the Kuf Chaf Alam says, "Shedav b'davar echad, you're a shaykh l'git v'geirishin." And he says, "No, the Torah's git is wrong. Maybe the Torah's git would have written the tshuva that the cleave again is possible. I don't know." But Rav Moshe is absolutely wrong. Adka. Now, what are these three things? So I want to end with one thing, one Nakuda from Reb Chaim of Risk, also an amazing Nakuda that I saw quoted in a few places. One of them is in the bottom of the new tours in Chosh Mishpat, Simon Lamed Hey, which is similar about Psuliedas of this type. He quotes an incredible presentation from Reb Chaim of Risk. Quoted to us by Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky, who was a Talmud Reb Chaim, close to Reb Chaim, the famous Chazon Yecheskel, who was dying in London for many years, big one of the Gedolei Hador. He quotes over here in Simon Lamed Hey, the footnotes in the new tour, Sidkot and Chav Tes, something very interesting, very interesting. He quotes Reb Chaim Soloveitchik Mibrisk, that these three things are simonim hamisamnim esmine hamachlas, they're categories. Yotze Yechidi Balaila, Fulanda Besa Chorus, Hu Toar Lamachlas Hamora Shkora, depression. Severe depression, he walks around, you know, Nebuchadnezzar in the street of the night, he sleeps in the graveyard, he wants to die maybe. A depression. A severe depression. They say 100 million Americans depressed. But, a severe depression. Yeah, those two are really one. That's what he said. Next. Hamakareas Ksusa, Hu Toar Lamachlas Halavana. What does that mean? Moon sickness? What does that mean? Asher giwui his rakshas his ragzus his hartof and kuchum. I think it means manic. There's a thing called manic. Manic depressant. Not a plain depressant. A manic depressant. It's a funny expression. Manic. Manic is the opposite of depressant, but that's what the psychiatric term. Maybe he has highs and lows, but then his highs, he's uncontrollable. That's what it means. He rips up his clothes. He goes wild. That's number two. Number three, this to this is one which is a very big problem for me. Hama abed mashenostim lo mora shekihios or ish holech begodel begufo. His body grows. Nishar omed beruchol shekishron binasol and espatech atzlo bekoach sichlo ata kekoach sichlo oz biyoso kotten. Shema abed mashenostim lo. This is the Chazon Yecheskel, name of Rav Chaim. So the question is: this last category, isn't this what we call until now a PESI, someone whose intelligence does not develop normally, and he's not at the intelligence level of a girl of whatever age. So we have to try tomorrow to analyze this very carefully. Is this statement of Reb Chaim of Risk against what Reb Zalman Nechemya said, that someone who is developmentally disabled and doesn't understand things is not considered to be a Shota, rather considered to be a PESI? And a Pesi is different than a Shota. Shotas have been in the Gavra and no antips or buts. And a Pesi has certain abilities to coach him and change him and help him. Is there a Machloikas over here? Or is there no Machloikas? And furthermore, if there, either way, what are the age levels of intelligence that we have to talk about? We only mentioned one age now far. 13. We have no other age so far. Are there other ages? We could say, if you have the intelligence of an 8-year-old, you're such and such. And if you have the intelligence of a 4-year-old, you're such and such. I mean, are there any other numbers? Because you could measure these things today. What this developmentally disabled person is equivalent, his IQ, they measure it at the level of a 7-year-old. Boom. Hoskins. So therefore what? So what is the lack of status? They're over a 4-year-old. What's the lack of status? That's going to be very important. So tomorrow we'll try to talk about that. After we finish, we get to the lumbus of, we have a chance, of the shtate, the rights of the rabbonim. If the rabbonim and the tour, that's really a whole different area of halacha, but that'll be after that. Let's first give out the b'chinitz, then we'll have a minch.